Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Movie Addict Headquarters with your host, Betty Jo Tucker, author of Confessions of a Movie Addict, right here at www.blogtalkradio.com.
Hi, all you movie fans out there. This is Betty Jo Tucker thanking you for tuning in to Movie Addict Headquarters. You don't have to be a movie addict to visit here, of course. But if you are one, it's definitely the place for you. And we have a very exciting lineup for you today, folks. We'll be talking about Hugh Jackman's film career, Be Still My Heart. You'll hear a spirited tape discussion with movie buffs Jazz Shaw and Fausto Rodriguez about Jackman's movies up to 2009. And two of our favorite film critics, James Colt Harrison and Diana Sanger, are here to talk about Jackman's work from 2009 to the present, including his recent portrayal of the ruthless Blackbeard in Pan, which was released just last month. In fact, I see that Diana and James have already arrived. Already called in. They're waiting in the green room, so let's bring them on right now. Ladies first, as usual. As most of you already know, Diana is the founder of Classic Movie Guide and also operates another great website called Review Express. But what you might not know is that she has recently received a number of important honors for her journalist projects. I'm so glad she could be with us today to talk about Hugh Jackman. Congratulations and welcome back to Movie Addict Headquarters, Diana.
Thank you, Betty Jo. This is my favorite radio show of all times.
Well, and you are one of my favorite guests of all time. Right up there with your colleague, James Colt Harrison. I'm proud of both of you, Diana, for your recent awards, and James, because he has decided to post his excellent reviews on Facebook now for the whole world to see, and I'm already hooked on those reviews. So, James, are you ready to talk about Hugh Jackman today?
Oh, I'd rather talk about myself. That's much more important.
Well, we'll schedule that another time, a whole hour to talk about James Colt Harrison and his worldwide adventures, because I understand you just got back from Rome recently, am I right?
Yes, I did. I had lunch with the Pope, and he sends his best to you, Betty Jo.
Oh, I love the Pope. Thank you for remembering me to him. And, you know, James, I'm really glad that you have agreed to share your reactions about Hugh Jackman in his latest movie, which we'll be talking about right after we hear the tape conversation about Jackman's earlier films and performances. And that's a nice segue into getting the tape loaded here and getting ready to press the right button, which sometimes I have trouble doing. Okay, I think
I've
got it. I think I've got it. So this is a fun section from our 2009 tribute show with Jazz Shaw, Fausto Rodriguez, and a call-in fan. And all of these people are not shy about sharing their opinions regarding Jackman's films. And I think you'll enjoy this, James and Diana, but I don't want the listeners to leave us after the tape is through, because James and Diana will be back with us, and we'll be talking about the later Hugh Jackman films. So the tape plays for about 20 minutes, and here it is right now. Now, I'm so happy that Fausta agreed to join us today because, like me, she's an avid Hugh Jackman fan. Am I right, Fausta?
Oh, you're right. Definitely right.
I knew it because we can't resist talking about Hugh Jackman about every other show. So so I knew that you would be someone who would really love talking about him. You know, Fausta, when I was doing research for the show, I was surprised to find out that Hugh Jackman has over 30 films and TV shows to his credit, and I'm not sure that I even had information about all of his work in Australia before he came to the United States. But the first time I saw him was as Wolverine, of course.
Ooh.
Yeah, in the X-Men movie. And I couldn't get enough of him after that. So I was wondering, what are your favorite Hugh Jackman films?
Definitely all the Wolverines. I mean,
all of the X-Men.
Yeah, the ones that have come out with the X-Men, and I'm sure I'm going to like the next one because I just love how he plays that character. Now, I also liked, and this is just, by the way, here's a spoiler. So anybody who's listening, this is a spoiler on The Prestige, okay? I love the idea of the Hugh Jackman clones. That was just perfect, you know? So I liked The Prestige because they cloned Hugh Jackman, and that's like everybody's dream if you're a fan.
I wish I had heard that before I saw that movie. It didn't make that much sense to me until until I knew what was, you know, what was going on.
Until cloned him. You know, and if you think about it, if Tesla had been able to clone Hugh Jackman, he would have never gone out of business. You know, Bowie would have never gone into music either, but that's another story. That would be a different movie.
Right. So you liked him in the X-Men movies and in The Prestige.
Yes.
Any other films that you especially enjoyed him in?
I also liked him in Swordfish.
You did.
That was one of his first Hollywood movies, yes. Actually, I think that was like his first big name star job.
And he was with Halle Berry and John Travolta.
Yeah.
In Swordfish.
I like that.
Yeah, that was on my list. I can't say I found Hugh Jackman particularly memorable, but Swordfish was one of my favorite films. Probably
yeah.
more so for Halle Berry though.
That's right.
Yeah.
And she did a little bit of nudity, I think, in that.
That's right. The guys like that.
Well, I'm ashamed of you for assuming that's the reason I would like it. The acting was wonderful. The story was fantastic. It was
She even got extra money.
I even noticed that she was naked.
I bet you didn't. Well, do you have any other favorite Hugh Jackman movies, Jazz?
I was going to just jump on the bandwagon with the X-Men because I did enjoy those films. I was not really aware of them. My wife was the one who got me into being aware of the X-Men because she was a fan of the comic books and dragged me to see the films, and I was pleasantly surprised. I really liked them.
Yes, I think.
And Wolverine was a great character, yes.
I think so, too. That of course, is definitely on my list of favorites. And we already have a caller, so I think let's just go ahead. Diane has been waiting on the phone since before the show started. So
patiently.
I know, so patiently. So let's bring her in. Hello, Diane. Thank you for calling Movie Attic Headquarters. Do you have a favorite Hugh Jackman movie?
Yes, I do. In fact, I had watched The Prestige and Kate and Leopold before, but I wouldn't say I was really a fan of Hugh Jackman until Australia. And so I'd have to say that's my favorite Hugh Jackman movie is Australia.
That's an interesting one. I thought that he was wonderful in Australia. I think the film had some problems with it, Diane, but
I don't know why do you think that the reviewers were not very kind to that film? I mean, do you think it was just because of the length or?
Well, the review I wrote of Australia was pretty much along those lines. That it wasn't Hugh Jackman, it wasn't the acting. It was the editing, it was the cutting. The film ran far too long and there were some very confusing back and forth cuts in it. I thought it had more technical problems than it did have storyline or acting problems.
But it also had that slow motion shower by Hugh Jackman's character.
Let me tell you one thing. That
be still my heart.
Yeah, that really was a big selling point in that movie. Any Hugh Jackman fan should watch that movie, if only because of that.
Yes, and
you guys were yelling at me about Halle Berry. Oh, come on now, where's the fairness? No, Australia reminded me very much of Brokeback Mountain. They both suffered. They were both great films, had the potential to be great films, and suffered from the same problems. They were just too long, too much with the cinematics, the establishing shots. They went on forever. Brokeback Mountain could have been 40 minutes shorter. Australia probably, you could have cut almost an hour out of that.
Well, I think you have some good points there, Jazz. And Diana, I didn't give Australia, you know, 5 stars or anything. But I did, I'm very biased, I think, when it comes to any movie with Hugh Jackman, or practically any movie with Hugh Jackman. And I thought his performance in that movie was the highlight. I thought he gave that character Drover sort of a tough, sarcastic veneer, but underneath there was vulnerability, and I thought he was very romantic with Nicole Kidman's character. But I think the story did try to tell so very, very much that it just went on a little bit too long, and we kind of were looking at our watches, you know, by the time it ends. But evidently, Diane, you thought that was an excellent movie. What did you like about it besides Hugh Jackman?
Well, I liked the scenery, the cinematography, and I did like the story. And I guess I didn't think it was overly long, but maybe modern movie audiences don't like, because, you know, Gone with the Wind, who they always say is one of the greatest movies, and that was, what, over 3 hours long, wasn't it?
Right.
Oh, yeah.
I think what Baz Luhrmann, the director, was trying to do was to make a movie that would compare with Gone with the Wind. I love the way he gave a homage to The Wizard of Oz, one of my favorite films. I thought that was very, very well done.
And I hate to detract from, you know, Foster's fascination with the shower scene, but to take some of his skills into account, I don't know how many people are aware, did any of you happen to catch the animated feature in the theater Flushed Away? Because he actually did the voice of Roddy, one of the rats in the movie Flushed Away, which was a great cartoon. It was a great film. My wife and I loved it.
Oh, yes, he's done some voices in animated movies. He did do also the voice of Memphis in Happy Feet, you know, the dad that was sort of an Elvis wannabe.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, so he's kind of in demand for even for animated movies.
Yeah, very good with his voiceover work.
Right. Well, Diane, we're just so delighted that you called. Is there anything else that you would like to mention? Are you on the phone also to listen to the phone to the show, or are you connected online?
I'm online, but can I listen to it online or just on the phone? I mean,
You can listen both ways. Jazz, would you explain how that works?
I want to say one comment. The only thing with that movie not being a success at the box office, I wonder, would you think that will limit Hugh Jackman's chances to get other romantic leads?
I hope not. I don't think so. I think he was so good in that movie that. And he's such a well-established star now.
And gauging by the reaction of most of, particularly the female fans, not casting any stones at Foster here or anything, I don't think he's going to have any trouble landing female leads in romantic films with females in the near future. Diane, if you decide to just stay on hold, you can listen to the show over the phone if you wish, or if you want to go ahead and hang up, then you can just go to the show's webpage and jump into the chat, and as long as you have speakers hooked up, you can listen to it live online there.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks.
Great.
Bye
and
now.
Thank you again for calling, and we'll hope to see more of Hugh Jackman in the future, right?
Absolutely. And also, I think he's a great guy, not just a great actor.
I think you're right about that, too. Well, bye now, and we'll hope you call back again on another show. And take care, Diane.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You know, is there? I have some different favorites, Hugh Jackman films, and one of them is Kate and Leopold. I thought that Hugh Jackman was just
outstanding in that, as that elegant Duke who
lived back
in the, you know, a bachelor, charming bachelor of the late 1800s. And I know this was one of those fantasy-type movies where the love story, the lovers actually lived in two different time periods. And so, it's, of course, it's far-fetched. But I thought he was just great in that role.
I enjoyed the film immensely, and I loved the time travel kind of twist to the whole time travel thing. I am embarrassed to say, when I watched it when it first came out, I didn't even realize it was Hugh Jackman because I just wasn't that familiar. But, it was a great film. Very enjoyable. I mean, not one of the classics, but a really enjoyable little movie.
I know, and he really hadn't done too much on the screen before Kate and Leopold. And I liked the director's quote, why he wanted Jackman for the role. And this is what he said. I just love this. Hugh Jackman just has the essence of great movie stars of the past. There are times that you can see Errol Flynn or Cary Grant in him. And I think that's really true. He does remind you of the great movie stars of the past. So what did you like Kate and Leopold, Fausta?
I like Kate and Leopold, but the only thing that I don't like about Kate and Leopold and Australia were his co-stars. I wasn't particularly crazy about Nicole Kidman in Australia, and I wish they didn't have Meg Ryan in Kate and Leopold. I would have put the girl from The Matrix, Carrie Ann Moss, in that part instead.
That's an interesting idea.
But I think he definitely has the old style movie star glamour, because if you guys remember when he's in Australia, you know, and he's in the outback, he's dirty, he's grimy, he's everything else, and then he goes to the ball and he shows up in a classic white smoking jacket, and let me tell you, how well named was that jacket. So it really was a big star.
Oh, I'm blushing over here.
Traditional movie star part, you know, that we used to have, which you don't find anymore, you know, particularly now, since most actors are just kind of blah looking.
Well, I have to agree with you. There were some great shots of Hugh Jackman in Australia, and I just think that he could hold his own with any of those old movie stars from the past. But, you know, the most memorable performance that I think Hugh Jackman has ever given is in the movie that we've talked about a couple of times before on this show, and that's in the movie The Fountain. He was fiercely brilliant in that movie, and he had to play three different parts. He was a research scientist trying to find a cure for his wife, who was played by Rachel Weisz, who's dying from cancer. He played Tomas, a Spanish conquistador sent by Queen Isabella to the jungles to find the Tree of Life. And then finally he played an astronaut floating in a bubble with the Tree of Life, and his memories of his wife there in the bubble. Mm-hmm. And I cannot believe how emotional he was and how that emotion came apart when he showed the love and despair that he was witnessing. I'm still thinking about certain scenes and wondering how he was able to do them with such depth of feeling. Did you see The Fountain, Fausta?
Yes, and I think he saved that movie, because the three different threads in The Fountain are so confusing that at one particular point, it's like you can't figure out if they're talking Buddha or 2001 Space Odyssey. So he really did ground the movie in a way that you could relate to his feeling for this woman and for what they had been and that kind of thing, and it made sense because of him.
That's right, and it did have a lot of symbolism, spirituality, matters of life and death. It was a very complicated film to follow, but it had such gorgeous images and then this just tremendously brilliant performance by Hugh Jackman. I think you're right, he did hold it together. Did you happen to see The Fountain, Jazz?
No, I actually avoided that one just because I saw several reviews, I'm sorry to say, which really panned the film, and they spoke strongly to what Foster was talking about a rather disjointed plot, and it didn't seem to gel and come together. Now you've made me think perhaps I should go ahead and put it on my Netflix list and watch it, but I didn't catch it, no.
I think you should put it on your Netflix and take a look at it, and now that you know something about the story, I think some of the people, or the lack of story, but now that you know what it was trying to do, I think you should take a look at it, and I think you'll really, really like it. The other favorite I have of Hugh Jackman's performances was in the movie Deception, which was also panned by critics. I may be one of the few critics who gave this movie a positive review, but we just don't get a chance to see Hugh Jackman as a villain. But in this, he was a terrific Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde type character, and he really got into the role.
It was a good film. I gave that one a good review also, and I thought he did a good job in it, yes.
And I think that he's just one of these kind of actors that can do anything. The romantic lead, he can play the villain we see here. He can do the action. He can do he can sing and dance, which we'll talk about a little bit later. But maybe we should check and see, are there any comments about favorite Hugh Jackman performances or movies from the chat, Jazz?
Most of them have already been mentioned here, as a matter of fact. It's kind of a limited repertoire, and it seems to be the same favorites going on. And not surprisingly, I think I'm in the minority because there are more women commenting about Jackman's physical talents.
I wonder why.
Imagine that.
But we're pretty much on the same wavelength about
this. And this is so unfair, because do you realize, and I'm going to say this for both of your benefit, if I came on this show as your co-host, Betty Jo, and I did some long diatribe about how wonderful Phoebe Cates was for her slow-motion departure from the pool in Fast Times at Ridgemont High, I would be decried as every kind of sexist in the world. But for some reason, when it's Hugh Jackman, it's perfectly okay.
Well, I told you we have a double standard on this show, don't
well,
we?
Well, there you go. I have to live with that.
But what is it that makes Hugh Jackman so popular? Of course, we know that he is just almost unbearably handsome. But what else, Fausta?
I have thought about this because this is a guy who comes across as a regular guy, even when he's playing completely extraordinary characters. I mean, Wolverine is a guy that you understand, even when he's got razors coming out of his knuckles. And you have the character in The Fountain that you're watching him, and he's not playing Hugh Jackman playing a role. You're playing a human being who's reaching out to you in the way that he plays these parts. And I think, at least the way I see it, that's what makes him such an effective actor.
Well,
because, I mean, there are a lot of good-looking men out there who have been actors who are nowhere near as convincing.
Right. Did we lose you, Fausta?
I'm still here.
You're still there, right. Well, good. Yeah, I think what you said is perfectly true, but I also think it's his versatility. As I mentioned before, he can do just about any kind of part, and he's believable. And you know that I'm probably the world's most avid movie musical fan, so I like him, and he's popular with me partly because of his ability to belt out a song. The first time I heard him sing was in a spoof of Phantom of the Opera on Saturday Night Live.
Ooh.
And I was absolutely bowled over with that voice. I didn't know at that time, you know, because I had seen X-Men and Kate and Leopold, but I hadn't ever heard him sing. And then I watched him in Oklahoma on PBS.
Oh, yes. That
and
was so good.
Oh, I know. And I knew he was going to be a great musical star, as he proved by winning a Tony for The Boy from Oz. And then, oh, this was a real treat. He just wowed everyone when he danced with the Rockettes on the Tony Awards show. And I think that he won an Emmy for the for his work hosting that particular show. So he's kind of a throwback to Gene Kelly, you know, who could do everything, the comedy, the action, the singing, the dancing, the villain. He's just got it all.
Well, speaking of some of those older films, you'll...
Yes, indeed, folks. Hugh Jackman has got it all. And we're back live, and I wanted to mention that Mr. Jackman has made a lot of films since our last show about him. Here's the list that I found on Internet Movie Database. Snowflower and the Secret Fan, Butter, Real Steel, Rise of the Guardians, Les Miserables, The Wolverine, Prisoners, Movie 43, X-Men, Days of Future Past, Chappie, Me and Earl and the Dying Girl, and Pan. And fortunately, we have James and Diana here to share their reactions about these movies that Hugh Jackman has made since 2009. James, let's start with you. I know that you have seen Pan because I read your great review over on Facebook. What would you share with the listeners what you thought about Hugh in that particular movie, and then we'll bring Diana in and we'll start talking about the best of the bunch out of those out of that list of movies. So you're on, James.
The entire movie.
Hi, James. James, excuse me. I had you unmuted, and now I missed the first part of that sentence, and so did the listeners. So just pretend you didn't start answering that question. Yes.
Okay, I'll rewind.
Right. There you go. Blah, 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 blah. Now.
Yeah. Okay. Are we okay now?
We're
all
okay
right
now.
When I saw Pan with Hugh Jackman, I went through the entire movie not knowing that Hugh Jackman was even in it. I did not recognize him at all. I didn't know who he was playing because I didn't know he was in it. And then at the end, it said Hugh Jackman, and I turned to my friend and I said, "Who is Hugh Jackman in this movie?" It turned out he was Blackbeard or somebody, but his makeup was so intense, and he did a good job because I didn't know who he was, so he was completely immersed in the role. However, the movie itself was a complete mess, and it's proven because it's been a giant flop at the box office, and the studio lost about a couple hundred million because it cost a lot of money to make it. Yeah, unfortunately.
Oh,
poor
I'm so
you.
Sorry. Sorry
yeah,
to hear that, but
you.
But
yeah.
You're I was not quite there with you know, I did know that was Hugh Jackman, and it's not I did enjoy the movie. I didn't think it was a complete mess, but you know, it's not easy for a Hugh Jackman fan like me to accept him as the ugly and villainous Blackbeard.
No,
that's it.
Yeah.
That was tough going. Now, he did put a lot of energy into the role. But the thing that I kept thinking about was how was he able to keep from laughing at himself in those outrageous costumes and makeup and hairstyles? I really, you know, didn't know how he could even be serious in the role, but he was. And the more I looked at Garrett Hedlund, and this you mentioned in your review how he did such a good job playing Hook, the younger, you know, the guy that became Captain Hook, and
yeah.
He had sort of a role that was like a Han Solo sort of anti-hero role, and that's the type of role that I like to see Jackman in. So I was kind of confused, and I think that you're saying that Diana was probably lucky that she didn't see Pan. Is that what you're getting at?
I think anybody who didn't see it is lucky.
Oh, please, dear listeners, you know, we are not, as critics, we are right some of the time, and some of the time we are wrong. So you just have to use your own judgment on these things. If you're a Hugh Jackman fan, though, you might enjoy Pan, because it is a very different type of role for him. Diana, since we talked last, have you seen Pan, or have you missed that when you just kind of crossed it off your list?
Oh, my list is so long right now that I'm crossing many off daily. We're entering into Academy time.
I know.
But if I
don't know whether
I was in that, I would make sure. So if I get the DVD, I'll certainly watch it.
Yes. Well, our listeners may not know that this is quite a busy time for film critics. We have our awards that we give out for Best Picture and Acting and Cinematography and all that. And so not only do we try to see the films that are currently showing, but we also get screeners from the studios. And I think one pack came in a few days ago that had about 25 screeners in it.
Right, yeah.
Which was the Magnolia and some good stuff in it. And so our eyes are kind of bugging out. We're trying to watch so many things. But now from that list, Diana, of films that Hugh Jackman has made since 2009, which ones do you think are the best of the bunch?
Well, I didn't, because I've been so running, I didn't quite realize that it was from 2009. So I wrote some down, and I'm not sure if they're in that group or before or after. I'm not sure.
That's all right. I will keep you on the straight and narrow.
Okay. I loved Les Mis. So far, that's my favorite of his. I think he just did an incredible job in that, and it touched me so much. I actually sang his song at an event 2 weeks ago, Bring Him Home.
Oh,
so,
beautiful song.
Yes, and I liked Prestige. I thought that was a really good movie. I know it didn't get that good of raves, but I really thought it was great.
Which one was that?
Prestige, about the magic.
Oh, the Prestige, right. The
yeah.
one that Fausta mentioned earlier. Okay,
yeah.
The Prestige. And Les Mis.
I liked him in Prisoners. I wasn't that crazy about the film because of the, I thought, extreme violence that it had in it. But he did a good job, of course, as a concerned father, and which he truly is a concerned father.
Yes, yeah.
We hear so many good things about him from everyone. Matter of fact, I just interviewed a director, Justin Waldman, who is in San Diego directing a play at the Old Globe. And before my interview, I realized he was co-director of Hugh and Houdini. So at the end of my interview, I had to ask, you know, what did he thought about Hugh? And he said, oh, the kindest, most nicest, sweetest man I've ever met in my life. There's nothing he can't do. So.
I love that director.
Yeah.
That's just the way I envision Hugh Jackman.
And, you know, we just saw him in Me and Earl and
The Dying Girl.
The Dying Girl, mm-hmm. But that was such a short part that it didn't have much thing going for it. Someone Like You, that might have been the years before you'd mentioned,
mm-hmm.
with Ashley Judd. I really liked that because I thought they had great chemistry together. And he can do that. He can just have the greatest chemistry with anybody, you know, males in Wolverine or romances just wonderful. And I do have to say I'm a little prejudiced. I mean, if you hear all these wonderful stories about someone, you actually interviewed him twice, and two times he came into the room to sing only to you, I'm a little prejudiced.
Oh, I guess so.
Yes,
tell
he sang.
That.
He sang
Thank
Oklahoma
you.
The one time, and the second time he came in singing Phantom of the Opera, and it's like, and I just melted.
Well, of
Wolverine,
course.
He's great in Wolverine. I'm kind of tired of Wolverine and X-Men. I think it's the last one already happened, or it's coming. I think. So maybe he's tired of those two. I'm not sure. But I was. Did you notice when you were looking, Betty Jo, about the films coming out in 2017?
Yes, I did. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And there's an
Greatest
untitled
Show on Earth, and he's going to play the Apostle Paul. That'll be interesting. So.
Yeah. Well, the Greatest Show on the Greatest Showman on Earth. Is a musical with singing and dancing, hooray, where he plays P.T. Barnum, and I'm just, you know, I'm just really, really excited about that, and that's supposed to be here in 2017. So, yes, and then since you're mentioning the ones that are coming up, Broadway 4D is listed on the Internet Movie Database, which has him playing Curly. Now, it looks like that's just going to be a group of little excerpts from Broadway musicals. And so that one would be Oklahoma. Christina Aguilera is doing Evita. Leah Salonga is doing something from probably Miss Saigon. And it says 2015, but I haven't seen it, you know, any date when it's being released. So those
I haven't
heard
of that, but it sounds wonderful.
Yeah, so those are two musicals that we can be they're making me happy. There's a film, Eddie and the Eagle, with Christopher Walken about Olympic ski jumping. And so he's keeping busy, but I'm just happy that he's doing that he's finally going to do some musicals. So I'm glad you brought
that. I have to tell you another good story. When that Fausta mentioned Kate and Leopold.
Yes.
So I interviewed him for that, and I don't know if you remember, but there's a scene in that movie where he goes up on the balcony for his wife's anniversary and lights the whole top of this New York balcony up, and there's flowers in every room, on the walls, on the floors. Do you remember that scene?
Oh, yes. That was so great.
He told us that he made them do that because he had done exactly that for his wife for their anniversary. And he said, they ate dinner out there at the little table with the lights on, and he said, and I just said, okay, you got to put this in the movie. So they did.
That is great. Now, again, that's just how I envision him. And we have Nancy Lombardo, a host of Comedy Concepts here on Blog Talk Radio, who's in the chat, and she mentioned that I'm jealous of her, too, just like I'm jealous of you, Diana, because Nancy says she saw Hugh Jackman on Broadway, and she says that he reminds her of Robert Preston. She must be thinking about Music Man. Well, he would make a good Music Man. I mean, that one.
Yeah.
If they ever remake that, he would be good in that. Well, you have a great list, we've known each other for years, and this is the first time you told me that you've actually seen Hugh Jackman in person and interviewed him, and he sang to you.
Yes.
I hate you, Diana.
That. I'm sorry.
Not really. Well, you knew what my reaction would be. But well, James, what about you from that list of 2009? Of course, you're certainly you certainly can mention other movies. Maybe we're being a little too restrictive here. But
were there
some that you think were the best of the bunch?
Well, I think the best of the bunch is Les Mis. I really, really liked it. And again, that was a movie where I did not recognize him in the first scenes, where his hair was all bald and he was all dirty and scrushy and he looked horrible. And I didn't know it was Hugh Jackman. And then I figured it out. It was Hugh Jackman. But that was the role he was playing. And by the way, I'm not picking on him for Pan. The movie was lousy. He was very good at his part as Blackbeard. And
okay, you're off the
blacklist.
Okay.
I'm off the blacklist, yes. Good. No, I like Hugh Jackman. Hugh Jackman is a typical Australian. I've been to Australia, I don't know, about 10 times. And the Australians are like that. They're all really nice people. They're lovely, friendly. You know, you don't even have to know them, and they'll talk to you, and they're really nice. And I understand Hugh Jackman is the same. So he's a typical Australian. They're wonderful people. So you must go to Australia. And I'm not getting paid for this either.
No, you don't belong to their Chamber of Commerce.
No, not at all. No.
Well, so Les Miserables is your pick.
I liked him in all his musical numbers that he's done on television and everything. He's just a wonderful performer, an all-around performer. And there are very few of those today. So Hugh Jackman rates very high on my list as far as being an entertainer. He's kind of like a modern-day Mickey Rooney who could do anything.
Mickey Rooney or Gene Kelly.
Yeah,
yes. You're right. He can do anything. I know. I am glad that both of you brought up Les Miserables, because I feel kind of like I'm betraying Hugh Jackman by not picking that as one of my best of his later movies. I did enjoy the movie very much because it was musical, and that music, well, it wasn't the singing, dancing musical, let's face it, which is the kind that I liked. That's why I'm looking forward so much to this Greatest Showman on Earth. But the whole musical score is just, I mean, it is just so remarkable, and you could just listen to it, you know, forever. But I didn't, and I think Hugh Jackman was good in it, but I don't think that he was old enough to play Jean Valjean. I mean, it just didn't sit right with me. So although I was very happy that he got an Oscar nomination, you know, I was thrilled about that, it isn't one of my favorite Hugh Jackman movies. And Diana, you did mention one that that I really was surprised that I liked, because it's not the kind of role that I usually want to see Hugh Jackman in. You mentioned Prisoners, and that one is, I think, one of the best. It just, to me, that I think about that movie so much. It was just, it was a chilling thriller, and it just shows how vigilante vengeance can go wrong. And here we have Jackman. I mean, he was just, he played this enraged father, as you mentioned, and in those scenes where he kidnaps the kid that he thinks is guilty, you know, who was taken. Paul Dano, and tortures him. I mean, Jackman is so scary in this film that I read that even his own wife had negative reactions about him during the screening that she attended. And I thought, Jackman was totally convincing in that role, almost too convincing. And then that movie had such a wonderful performance by Jake Gyllenhaal as the detective working on the case.
Right.
And I just thought about it so much. But as you said, Diana, it might be too brutal for some viewers, but it's really one of the best movies, and it's one that you really can't forget. And one that you didn't mention, I'm kind of surprised at, because I thought this was Entertainment Plus. And this was Real Steel. Did either one of you see Real Steel?
I did.
And
that was with the little boy, right?
Yeah, where he's this. He finds out that he's got a 11-year-old son. He didn't even know he had a son until the boy shows up at his doorstep after the mother dies, and he just doesn't know how to handle what to do with the boy. He's single. And this is in the future. I'm telling a little bit about the movie, because if any listeners haven't seen it, I really highly recommend it. But Jackman plays this struggling boxing promoter. This is in the future. And he's got many character flaws, including a willingness to sell his 11-year-old son. And you still like him. Now, what kind? You know, not many actors. Many actors could pull that off, and he has to show such a wide range of emotions as a father who doesn't know what he doesn't have a clue, and it's really a very sentimental movie, father son, and how they get together, and then you've got these excellent boxing matches. It's in the future. It's these giant robots that fight each other, and
right.
Some of those fight scenes were just absolutely spectacular, and I don't think any Jackman fan should miss this one. I think it's really great. It's interesting that movie was released in 2013, and so was Prisoners. 2013 was a good year for Hugh Jackman. And then the other one that I like, that I think is really an excellent film that he did, and he's great in it. I do love him as Wolverine. Because, that, as I mentioned in the discussion with Faust and Jazz, that's the first time I saw him, and I've just been such a fan ever since. But the Wolverine was quite a different Wolverine in this movie. He's a different creature than we'd seen before, and Jackman's animal magnetism was muted in this. Because of the loneliness and suffering his character is going through. Well, you know, all his fellow mutants are gone, and so he's still around. So he's definitely down in the dumps. And Jackman really convinced me that he was. In fact, he even looks like a raggy caveman in the early scenes. But I was so glad he cleaned up nicely later on in the film. The good news.
Yeah, he was
so
down in the dumps. He made me down in the dumps watching that.
Well, some people were, but he looked, when he shaped up, that Wolverine looked more visceral and physical than he ever looked in a movie. The best physique ever. And then I love the action scenes in Japan, especially atop a bullet train. They were so exciting. So I think this is one of the best Wolverine outings in my book. But now I know, Diana, you're a little bit tired of the Wolverine. Would you still like to see Wolverine the musical?
I would. I think that would be great.
I think I'd rather see the circus musical.
I would love to see that too. But there's an untitled Wolverine sequel listed as an upcoming movie in the Internet Movie Database list. So I'm sure that probably isn't a musical. But
I doubt it.
We had a discussion with Fausta and Jazz about why Hugh Jackman is such a popular movie actor, and but I wanted to get your reactions to that too. How about you, James? Why do you think he is such a popular star?
Well, I think actually you said it all, because he is catnip to the ladies. He's, you know, so good looking. He's physically a knockout, and I hate him because he's got such a terrific build. And he has a great personality. He's, I think, despite some of the maybe mean parts that he's played, he still has that native, the good guy thing about him. He's really a nice person, and everybody seems to like him. No, I haven't heard a bad word about him and about working with him. He seems to be just a prince on the set. So I think that comes across on the screen.
Oh, yes, and I think that he definitely has a lot of people that want to work with him, because he is so nice, and that counts for a lot in Hollywood. How about you, Diana? Do you agree with James on that?
Oh, yeah. To me, he's Jack Lemmon, the everyman. That was Jack Lemmon's by name. He could play anything, anywhere, anytime, anyhow, with anyone.
Yes, true.
And it's absolutely true. And continue to be, you know, like you said, a nice person that everybody just would dream to work with him. So
it didn't go to his head that he became a big movie star. Not
right.
at all. He's just a normal person, a normal guy. And that's what makes people like him so much.
I think you're right about that. I agree with both of you. Do you think he ever will win an Oscar, Diana?
You know, the Oscar whole regime thing has changed so much. It's hard to tell. You never know, you know, are they doing 5 films or 10 films and who's voting on them? And I think it's a lot more political now than it used to be, unfortunately. So who knows?
I think it depends on whether he gets a really good part. That, you know, that's the key to it all. He has to have a good part. And I think in the future he has to select his films carefully and not just be in Wolverine-type movies, but maybe some more dramatic types. I prefer The Song and Dance Man, Hugh Jackman, myself, but we'll look forward to his musicals in the future. But I think he needs a good dramatic part to win an Oscar.
Yes, maybe when he gets older and has a lot of times those Oscars are given out not just necessarily for the movie that they say they're giving it out for, but for, you know, a body of work. So if that's the case, I think he's well on his way, proving his versatility and his staying power. So I do predict that he will win an Oscar, and maybe not just one. And I'm just hoping that he wins it for a musical. I hope he wins it for The Greatest Showman on Earth. And I hope that show comes in on 2017 and they don't keep putting it off. What so far? Now, this is wide open. This is from all of his performances, not just the movies, you know, after 2009. What do you think is Hugh Jackman's best ever performance in a film, Diana?
Well, I think I said it earlier. I think it was in Les Mis because, like Jim, I didn't quite recognize him at first in the film. But, you know, once he started talking and you could kind of hear his voice, I went, oh, my goodness, that's Hugh Jackman. And I try not to know as much about a film as I can before I go in. So I knew nothing about who was doing what. And so it was just astonishing to me. But the you know, the part where he goes into the church and he's kind of mentored by the pastor or the priest there and then attaching himself to this other man's life, it was just very heartfelt. I think I wished he would have won the Oscar for that.
That would have
absolutely
been great. I would have been
surprised.
Go ahead, Jim.
I agree with Diana. I think he should have won the Oscar for Les Mis. I think that was his best acting that I can remember. Plus, Prisoners, too, is also on the top of my list for his acting. So he was wonderful in both pictures, but I do think he should have won for Les Mis.
Well, I was rooting for him, but I would have been very, very surprised if he did. I think he gave his very best performance in a film that hardly anybody else has seen. And that's the movie that I talked about with Fausta and with Jazz. And it's The
Not
Fountain.
Not The Fountain.
The Fountain. I do. I know.
I hated movie.
Well, so many people did. So many. As I mentioned before, film critics are sometimes right and film critics
that's
are
right.
sometimes wrong. So.
That's right.
We all have our different opinions,
that's exactly
what it is. It's our opinion. So don't pay any attention to film critics because we don't know what we're talking about.
Or pick film critics that you usually agree with, and then you won't be be angry most of the time. Well, I'm going to ask you one more question. I'm going to ask you if there's anything else you'd like to add about Hugh Jackman. But before you tell me the answer to that, it's time for brief messages from two loyal listeners.
Hi, comedian Nancy Lombardo here, host of Comedy Concepts Blog Talk Radio. And when I need my movie fix, you'll know where I'll be found. That's right, every Tuesday at 4 p.m., listening to Betty Jo Tucker on Movie Attic Headquarters Blog Talk Radio. Show me the funny, Betty. Show me the funny.
You're listening to Movie Attic Headquarters with your host, Betty Jo Tucker. She's the real deal in what's happening on film. And if you're not real careful, you might hear the confessions of a movie addict. So get your popcorn and stay right there in your seat for Movie Addict Headquarters. And now back to our feature.
Thanks so much, Nancy and Steve, for those fun promos. And, dear listeners, be sure to check out Nancy's very funny Comedy Concepts show here on Blog Talk Radio each Monday and Friday morning at 10:30 Eastern Time. I'm hooked on that show. Another entertaining show you should check out is the Mom and Pop Shop radio show hosted by Mr. Showbiz himself, George Bettinger. It airs over there on Dreamstream Radio every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. And don't forget about all the diverse shows on the Wacko Network here on Blog Talk Radio. There's something for everyone in the Wacko wheelhouse. And now, James, is there anything else that you would like to add about Hugh Jackman?
Yeah, yes, I would like to meet him in person and interview him. What's your name, dear?
Lucky.
Diana. She's sitting beside me. I want an interview with Hugh Jackman because he's one of my favorites, actually, Betty Jo. I just wanted you to know that. I'm not saying that because you are in love with him. However,
no,
you are a traitor because you formerly liked Johnny Depp. Now you've switched.
Well, he's in the running still. The jury is out on that. How about you, Diana? Anything else you'd like to add?
No, I think I said it all. Thanks, Betty Jo, for inviting us here.
Well, it's always a pleasure. It's so much fun when both of you are here, and you've been terrific guests again today. But I'm sorry to say that our time is almost up. So here's a big shout-out to the folks at Blog Talk Radio for their support, and to Hugh Jackman for the pleasure he's given us with his films and performances. And special thanks to James Cold Harrison, Diana Sanger, Jazz Shaw, Fausto Rodriguez, Nikki Starr, my producer extraordinaire, Nancy Lombardo, who's been in the chat room, and we really appreciate her participation, and Diane, who called in, and to all our listeners. We hope everyone enjoyed the show. I know I sure did. Please come back next time for another lively discussion about movies. And in the meantime, check out our film reviews at realtalkreviews.com. That's R-E-E-L, realtalkreviews.com. That's all for now, folks. Here's the talented A.J. Daniels to take us out with a song dedicated to all our listeners and today also to the wonderful Mr. Hugh Jackman.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.